Good morning, brothers and sisters. Before I go to my topic, I would like to ask you one question. It's a very easy one. What is the theme this year? Could you answer? Well, lots of young people maybe forgot. Press on to maturity. So now is the end of August. Do you become more mature than January? Well, I hope the answer is yes. If not, I hope you listen to the sermon carefully, because my topic is the first step to spiritual maturity. If you don't understand the first step, then maybe you have no second step, and you will never grow mature in the Lord. I will use the book of Romans to explain what is the most important step, the first step of a Christian you can grow spiritually. We know the book of Romans mainly has two parts. The first part, Paul deals with the doctrine, is concerning the Christian salvation. From chapter 1 to 11, what is the salvation? What is the gospel from God? But the second part is from chapter 12 to chapter 16. Paul describes the life of a Christian, the Christian life, how you live out a life which is a Christian. Today I use the Bible passage, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, as the main Bible verse. Paul mentioned what is the first step to a Christian is present your body, present yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord. If you never heard about this, or you never think about this, or you have never done this, you have never go out for the first step. So, especially young people here, if you never present yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice, you need to listen carefully. Paul said, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. This is a reasonable service, not something very special. Is a reasonable. And some other translation, like ESV, use spiritual worship. If you don't know how to live a life like a Christian, worship God, you have to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Otherwise, we don't know what is worship. In the ancient times, the priest, they offered different kind of sacrifice, different kind of animals. They worship God. The spiritual worship, the true worship, is their service. They serve God. They offer the different kind of sacrifice. If they really know how to sacrifice, how to offer the sacrifice, they are in the true worship. So, dear brothers and sisters, if you don't know what is a living sacrifice, you have to be very careful, because you are far away mature. You should live as a living sacrifice, then you just go the first step of maturity. So this morning, I would like to say three things. Why should we be a living sacrifice? And the second question, what does it mean, a living sacrifice? And the third, how can we be a living sacrifice? Why, what, how? It's three basic questions, but all are important. Now, the first thing, why should we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice? Paul mentions two important reasons. The first reason is the sovereignty of God. The second reason is the mercies of God. So in the Bible passage we just read, Paul says, from God, through God, and to God are all things. To God be the glory. All things, including you and me, all things from God, all things through God, all things to God, for God. So where do you come from? Of course, from parents, but God created the humankind. Adam and Eve was created by God. Therefore, God has the final authority of mankind. God is the real law of the humankind. He has the lordship. But unfortunately, Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They don't want to listen to God. They do what they want to do. So their will was against God's will. Then there was a separation between man and God, and all mankind lost from his hand. Why we should offer ourselves as a living sacrifice? Because the lordship of our life originally belongs to God, not belongs to you. But we leave God, we disobey God, we rebel against God. From God's hand, just like something lost from his hand, we are lost from God's hand. Now we hand our lordship to God. It's reasonable. I just use an illustration. For instance, if I take down my watch, I put here so I can keep the time. Later on, I forget. So I leave the sanctuary without bringing my watch. Then David Wong, Elder Wong, got my watch. Later on, I found out, oh, I forgot my watch. I come back. I said, David, give the watch back to me. Should he return the watch to me? Young people, answer me. Should he return to me? Yes. If he said no, this is mine now. Is he reasonable or unreasonable? Which one? Of course, unreasonable. But I think he's a reasonable one. He will return to me. Our lordship, our life, all from God. From God, through God, is also to God, for God's glory. But now we forgot. We thought, oh, my life is mine. I have the lordship. I can control myself. I can do what I want to do. I just live as I wish, I will. This is something wrong inside. So Paul said, why we need to become a living sacrifice? Why should we need to offer ourselves back to God? Because it is a reasonable service. And this is spiritual worship. If you want to worship God, This is the basic. Otherwise, we come to worship God. We won't let God be our Lord. We are Lord of ourselves. This is not spiritual worship. This the Bible means. So two different translations can speak out the meaning of this word. Reasonable service, because he is the Lord. He is the creator. He has the lordship of our life. But human being left God, disobeyed God, didn't submit themselves to him. This is what needs to be correct. We need to change. So offer ourselves to God is reasonable. The second reason, Paul says, not only by this, but Paul appealed to us by the mercies of God, by the abundant mercies of God. You know, Romans, the book of Romans, from chapter 1 through chapter 11, Paul described many, many things, showed the great mercy of God. Many, many things show the mercy of God. Maybe I just say something, a little bit. Paul said, all humankind, all have sinned against God. We all are sinners. In God's mind, if we are sinners, we should be judged. We should be punished. But God so loved the world. He sent his only son. God presented his son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrificial atonement. He died for us. So through his blood, we can be justified by faith. This is wonderful grace, show God's mercy. Not only that, through the working of the Holy Spirit, God make us become a saint. So sanctify us. We, by the grace of God, by the power of God, we can leave all sins. We can do not commit sin again. This is what God's mercy, God's power, God's work. Not only that, Paul says, God will grant us eternal glory, will lead us to his place, and can be with God eternally. So from justification to sanctification, then to glorification. This is what Paul teaches in Romans from chapter 1 to chapter 8. We can say this is the abundant mercies, shows God's love to us, to his creations. Why we have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice? When you know his majesty, when you know his love, then you are willingly submit yourself to him. In the church history, many, many people, they already have done this because the love of God, because the mercy of God, they have no restriction. They just submit totally to the Lord. One very famous person I want to mention is in the 18th century, the leader of the Moravian Brethren movement. Maybe you never heard this name, but it's a very important one. Zinzendorf, Brother Zinzendorf. He was a nobleman, or nobleman of Germany. The nobleman, he has inherited a bigger land and a lot of properties. He's a very respectful person, Zinzendorf. But he dedicated everything to the Lord. Everything he owned. Not only that, He dedicated himself to the Lord. So become the leader of that great movement. The Moravian Brethren movement was the first Protestant mission movement. In 18th century and the 19th century, they sent out more than 2,000 missionaries all over the world, even to China. 2,000, more than 2,000 missionaries go to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead other nations, other ethnics, other people, other races to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Brother Zinzendorf was a very great person. Why he did that? Because one day he visited the gallery in Düsseldorf, Germany, and he watched all the different paintings. One painting attracted him very much. That painting has the title, "Behold This Man," but it's in Latin. The Latin is "Ecce Homo." Behold this man. What it means, the picture is the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ was flogged and put a crown of thorns on his head, so his blood was bleeding all over his body. Then Pilate said, "Look, watch this man." So some artist, some painter saw the picture. Lord Jesus Christ was there. He was flogged, and he with the crown of thorn, then his blood bleeding all over his body. On the bottom, there was a sentence. The sentence says, "This I have done for you. Now, what will you do for me?" "This I have done for you. Now, what you will do for me?" Touches his heart. He felt, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to him. So he answered, "Dear Lord, I'm willing to dedicate everything to you. I will live my life totally for you." From that on, his big land and his lot properties all dedicated to the Lord. They accept many Christians in his property, become the Moravian Brethren movement. Then they love each other, they build up each other, become a great church. Within 150 years, they send out more than 2,000 missionaries all over the world. He has a motto. The motto is doing everything for Christ and only for Christ. Why he has this kind of mentality? Because he experienced the mercy of God. He experienced the love of Christ. The love of Christ controls him, compels him to do what he should do. Dear young people, I think you are young, but you know what means love. Your parents love you. Your father loves you. Your mother loves you. But the more important, God loves you more than your parents. God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, is for your sin and for my sin. This not only for young people, for everyone here. When you meditate on this, when you experience his love, God's mercy, what you should do is very simple. Present yourself, present your body as living sacrifice to him. What does it mean, a living sacrifice? I will explain later. And how we can be a living sacrifice, I will explain later. But why? Two reasons. The first, the sovereignty of the Lord. The second, the mercies of the Lord. Now I come to the second point. What is a living sacrifice? What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Well, in the Old Testament, there were all dead sacrifices, no living sacrifice. Animal should be killed first, then offer on the altar. You can never put a live bull on the altar. You can do that. Got to be killed first. All animals got to be killed. So in the Old Testament, there were no living sacrifice. But in the New Testament, God doesn't want dead sacrifice anymore. God only wants living sacrifice. So what does it mean, a living sacrifice? You can meditate from what does it mean, a dead sacrifice. Beginning from here, then find out the principle, find out the meaning of a dead sacrifice applied to our life, applied to everyone. There are two main principles or two major changes of a sacrifice. The first change is the lordship of the life. The second change is the purpose of the life. Any sacrifice, the first change is the lordship. The second change is the purpose. I will explain this. A bull, it can walk around by himself. It can eat grass by himself, can drink water by himself, as he like. Once become a sacrifice, he lost this freedom. He cannot walking around by himself. He cannot drinking, eating as he wish. The lordship changed to God. So what is a living sacrifice? The first, your lordship of your life, commit to God. The first change. And the second change, the purpose of life. A bull can be used to pull a car or to plow a field. Many different purposes. But once become a sacrifice, the purpose is only for God. The purpose is for God's will, not for his other purpose. So what is a living sacrifice? Living sacrifice, now we no longer live according to my will, but his will. I live, do everything not for my own purpose only, for the purpose of God mainly. Of course, everyone has our own purpose of life. We pursue different career. We study in different school. We have different jobs. We have different family. We have different role in the family. Some husband, some wife, some parents, some children. In the company, we're working in different role. Some is engineer, some as a professor, some as a doctor, or some as an accountant, or some as different job. But no matter what job, what role you are playing, now for the purpose, for the glory of God, that's the living sacrifice. So what is a living sacrifice? Living sacrifice, our lordship commit to God, and our living purpose is for God. Many Christians even become a Christian for 10 years. They still only live for themselves. they're still self-centered. Everything's self-centered. Everything hope the Lord listening to his command. All prayer is the Lord help me. The Lord do something for me. I need a good job. I need a good health. I need a good living. I need a good house. I need a good income. If I'm going outing, the Lord give me good weather. If I'm going shopping, give me good discount. If I'm going fishing, give me good luck. If I go eating, give me good food. Everything is for me. This is self-centered life. Christians keep growing up, getting mature. Now change your mind, not only for myself. I do this, can I glorify God? Does God feel good when I do this? Can I help other people when I do this? God's name can become exalted through what I'm doing. This is different mindset. Dear brothers and sisters, what is a living sacrifice? Now come to the young people. In your family, do you listen to your parents' teaching? Do you listen to your parents? You don't want to answer? That means no? Yes? If you want to become a good children, pleasing to God, remember, God asks your parents to teach you. Sometimes even to beat you if you don't listen to his admonition. God lets you play a role as a child. As children in the home, you have to obey your parents. But is adults here, as a good parents, we teach our children according to the teaching of the Lord, not by ourselves. So we just help them, nurture them, give them good education, give them good environment. We hope they have the heart to fear God, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow what the Bible teaches. So we all do things for God's glory, for God's will. Because the time limit, I have to make very short. Now we will come to the third point. How can we be a living sacrifice? How can we be a living sacrifice? I will mention four things from Romans chapter 12, 1 to 2. Verse 1 and verse 2, Paul mentions four things. What is a living sacrifice? How can we live out as a living sacrifice? The first thing, you should die to yourself. And the second thing, die to the world. And the third thing, live to the Lord. And the fourth thing, live for the Lord. I will explain briefly. The first thing, die to yourself. What does it mean? Die to your own will. If it is against God's will. Remember, die to your own will if it is against God's will. In the Old Testament, all sacrifice must be killed, must be dead. Otherwise, cannot be a sacrifice. So all sacrifice should be dead. In the living sacrifice, we also need to be dead and also to be alive. How can we die to ourselves? I just use one illustration from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a very interesting person. His name is Isaac. Isaac. Young people, do you heard the name Isaac? You know Isaac. Isaac, the story of Isaac is very interesting. His father, Abraham, was instructed by God, will offer Isaac, his own son, to become a burnt offering. So bring him up to the mountain. Then we'll bound him and burn him as an offering. Well, father and son walk together. Maybe you are not very sure how old Isaac was. Let me tell you, about 15 years old. Just like your age, right? 15 years old. Because the Bible says he was a teenager, was a young man. He's strong, so he can carry the wood, a lot of wood, climb up to the mountain, about 15. So at that time, Abraham was about 115 years old. Abraham got the son when he was 100. So now 115 and 15, father and son walked together, climbed up to the mountain. On the road, Isaac asked his father, "Father, here is the wood. Where is the lamb?" Abraham dared not to tell him. Abraham said, "The Lord will prepare." He dared not to tell him, "You are the lamb. I will burn you." So the Lord will prepare. But finally, climb up to the mountain, Abraham has to answer him, "Where is the lamb?" So I think Abraham told him, "The Lord instructed me, you are the lamb. I will offer you. I will bind you and put you on the altar." Now, very important. What if the 15-year-old Isaac heard this news, turn around and run away? Can 115-year-old Abraham can catch this 15-year-old young person? I don't think he can do that. 115 cannot run anymore. But the story told us, Isaac didn't run away. Isaac didn't do things according to his will, but to his father's will. This means die to himself. God's will and my will, if there is a conflict, you should die to your will, die to yourself. So let God's will be done. This another example is our Lord Jesus Christ. We are very familiar with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, whole life doing God's will. He said, "I never please myself, always please the one who sent me, my Father." In Gethsemane, you know the prayer. Our Lord Jesus prayed, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away. If it is possible, let the cup be taken away, but not as I will, only as you will." Then finally, our Lord Jesus, do what the Lord's will, God's will, go to the Golgotha, become sacrifice for us. What is a living sacrifice? Die to yourself if your will is against God's will. If not against God's will, you can do what you like. For instance, some young people like to play piano, like some like violin, and some like guitar, and some like other instruments. You can play the instrument if you like it. But if you do something wrong before God, I will encourage you, die to yourself. So the second thing, die to the world. This is very important, especially for young people. What the world means, the world imposed mind is the value system of the world. The value system. Why? Because Paul says, by the cross, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. This is very interesting. By the cross means to death. The world has already been crucified. The world is dead to me, and I to the world. The world in the context means the value system. This world has different value system. We got to be very careful. If we do something, the value system is wrong, we against the Lord. I just mentioned very few things. We have prayed the Lord help us. We'll not watch pornography. We should help pray the Lord help us. When we are young people, no premarital sex. No cohabitation without marriage. Because a lot of things happen in New York. I came from New York. If married people, no affair outside your marriage. Of course, we are against homosexuality. We are against abortion. Those are the world value system. If we really want to become dead to the world, we need to have a right value system, which is from the Bible, from the Lord. 2 weeks ago, I went to San Francisco to lead some revival meeting, and I saw some ladies, it's not too many in Georgia, maybe I didn't go to downtown often. They put their earring on the nose. Well, I watched, it's weird. I don't know whether you have met this kind of people, put the ring, the earring on the nose. In ancient time, only a cow was put ring to pull around. But why they put on the nose, I cannot understand. Young people, don't learn that. That's the world value. I don't know why they do this. Don't do that. Also, I like to watch NBA basketball, but I don't like some stars. They have tattoo all over their arms, different kind of tattoo. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, God forbid tattoo on the body. So young people, especially young people, because the world value sometimes influence you, don't put tattoo on the arm. It's ugly, not pretty. I say this for your parents. Don't do this. Don't follow the world system. Follow the world value. Okay, now my time is up already. I still have 2 points, just very, very brief. I cannot be any more brief like this. The third, live to the Lord. That means do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can you be transformed by the renewing of your mind? By God's word. By God's word and God's Holy Spirit working in your heart. So young people, let me ask you, do you read Bible every day? No, you are honest, but not good, not good. I hope you'd at least spend 15 minutes. I ask adults 30 minutes, but you are young people. Can you not, I don't want to say promise, otherwise you maybe it's too serious. But I really encourage you, read your Bible. Otherwise, how can you be transformed by the renewal of your heart, of your mind? You can never be transformed. Young people, are you willing to try? Are you willing to try? No. Yes. Thank God. Okay. Remember, you promised me. You are willing to try. Okay. At least try. Then the Lord will use His word and use the Holy Spirit to transform you, become more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, all people do the same thing. Now the last one. Do everything for the Lord, for His glory, not just for my benefit. I want other people, when they see me, they can find something different inside of me from other people. We can try to love our friends, try be honest, try become more kind, try become more patient. When you do this, you manifest the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, then other people will say, oh, they are real Christians. They are the follower of Christ. They are the one listen to Christ's teaching and obey His word. Hope the Lord bless all of you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, You are so wonderful. You are so majestic. Thank you for Your greatness in Your Lordship, Your greatness in Your mercy. I pray You touch all people's hearts, so we are willing to dedicate ourselves as a living sacrifice. Then we'll keep growing in the grace, become more mature spiritually. Thank you. We pray in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please rise for our responses.